would you like to buy property with no money down? David Webb will tell us how to do it, and he's the founder of the No Money Millionaire, a movement proving that you don't need money to build wealth. You need mindset, creativity, and relentless execution. Having faced eviction more than 15 times as a young father, David knows firsthand what it means to start from nothing. And instead of letting his circumstances define him, he used them as the foundation for a comeback, learning how to leverage creativity over capital to build a real lasting wealth. And he's the author of The No Money Millionaire, Build Wealth Through Real Estate Without Using a Dime of Your Own Money, host of the No Money Millionaire podcast, and creator of a transformative framework. David, tell us about how can someone buy property with no money down, especially if they are currently in a difficult financial position.
Property Wealth Strategies podcast with Lily Patrashko shares world's most influential property investors, sharing their strategies for making money with property.
Sure. Well, you know, my very first property that I purchased, I was visiting my father. It was the house that I had grown up in as a child. And I was visiting him one day and he said, "Hey, I'm selling the house." And I said, "Well, I want to buy it." And I was young. I was in my 20s. And he laughed at me. He said, "How are you going to buy it?" He knew I was in no shape traditionally to buy it, the property. But I told him, "Yeah, I want to buy it." And so I didn't have my taxes up to date. My credit was horrible. And I didn't have any money. I don't even know if I was working at the time. And so I didn't know where to begin. So I picked up the Yellow Pages. And I just started thumbing through the Yellow Pages and calling lender after lender after lender. And I was getting turned down one after the next. They're like, "Do you have down payment? Do you have good credit?" And I was like, no. And so they were like angrily laughing at me. Like, "What are you even wasting our time for?" But I didn't stop. I was persistent. And I don't know why. I don't know why I thought continue. But, you know, after many, many rejections, I finally found somebody that said, "Okay, let's figure out how to make this happen." And so this was my very first creative money deal. And so he said, "Well, you need a couple pieces. You have to have the down payment. You have to have credit. You do need these, but let's figure out how you can get those." And so we came up with a way to get my down payment covered by equity in my father's home. He gifted the equity to me. There was my down payment covered. That was one piece. The other piece was now I needed the credit. So he said, "Well, is there anyone you can partner with that would come into this with you that could have the credit aspect?" And I said, "Well, you know, let me ask my brother." And so I went to my brother and I said, "Hey, I want to buy Dad's home. Do you want to come in with me on it?" And so so he did. So he covered the credit. The down payment came from equity. And my father agreed to sell it to us for less than what he originally wanted, but we decided to finance it for the original amount that he wanted. So we at closing went in with no money out of our pocket, closed on the property, and walked away with $20,000 that my brother and I split, $10,000 apiece. So, you know, that was just creative financing. It was just finding the pieces that you need. And there's many different ways to go about it. That was just my intro into creative finance. And that was one example of how you can do it with actually no money.
Thank you. Tell us about more creative financing ideas for property investors to buy their first property.
Sure. Well, my second property that I found was another creative finance strategy, and it was seller finance. So I found a home that was, it needed repairs. It wouldn't qualify for a traditional mortgage. So the seller had to do a seller finance or some other deal. It could not get a loan on the property. So it was $1,500 out of pocket. That's all I had to come up with up front. And I was able to buy the house all on my own. There was no credit check. There was no looking at my taxes. I just needed to come up with the upfront, which was $1,500. And then I got the home and it was a seller finance deal. Now there's somebody out here with me right now that is following my method, and he just did his first property. It was a triplex. So it's three apartments. He negotiated with the seller to do some upfront renovation in exchange of his down payment. So he did the upfront renovations that took place of his down payment. So he came in with no money. They didn't do a credit check. They didn't pull his taxes. And the other two of the three units were occupied. And he was going to occupy the third. And so when he closed, at closing, he was collecting rent from those other two units at the time of closing. So he came in with no money. At closing, he collected the rent from those two. And those two apartments cover the note that he negotiated with the seller to buy it. So he gets to live in his unit for free.
Thank you. Tell us about other creative financing ways that some of your students or people that you've mentored have used, and give us some examples of how they have used those creative financing methods.
Sure, of course. So another one, somebody just purchased a property here in Tulsa, and it a single family home that he's going to do a fix and flip with. So he went to a hard money lender. The hard money lender looked at the property, looked at what it would be worth after selling it, and was able to do 100% loan on the property. And that funded the budget for the renovations as well. So he was able to use 100% financing from the hard money lender to purchase the property and also have the money to fix it up. And then once he was finished, he was able to sell it. And he did all that without any money out of pocket as well. So there's another one that I use, and so does somebody I just helped.
Thank you. Tell us about why should people consider using creative financing, and what kind of people is creative financing suited for?
Sure. You know, as you climb, I think creative financing, in the way that I describe it in the book, one of the aspects, I think it's used at your highest level. I think it's the standard. So your top, you know, high level real estate investors, they're not using their own money. You don't do that. So you learn to leverage, you do hard money lenders, or you bring in other people's money, private lenders, you use bank money. So another structure, and I did this one myself, was for an 8-unit apartment building. I knew what the bank was going to require as the down payment. The bank already looked at it and was ready to approve it. So I had to come up with the down payment money to give to the bank. Well, I went to a private lender and negotiated terms with that lender. And so they put up the down payment. The bank put in the rest. I was able to purchase the 8-unit apartment building, and I still have that today. And that's cash flowing, and that pays the private money lender and the bank lender, and still has some cash flow afterwards.
Thank you. How can someone find out all of these different types of creative financing ways so they Sure. can really learn that financial freedom techniques that are required to build this kind of property portfolio?
Well, I put it all nicely and neat in this one book right here, called The No Money Millionaire, How to Build Wealth Through Real Estate Without Using a Dime of Your Own Money. And I break every one of these examples down in here, examples of the exact properties that I use some of these strategies with. And so it's all in the book, you know, and that's why I wrote the book, because I wish that I had something like that 20 years ago. So I could have just read it and known that I could have done it. Instead, I kept thinking, even though I had done two no money deals, it hadn't clicked in me yet. I still thought you needed to do things traditionally, and I was still trying to get all the right pieces in place. And had I had this book, I could have read that this was the normal way that these are done, and I'd been practicing it a lot sooner.
Thank you. What would you say are the main things the property investors are not aware of in terms of creative financing?
Well, I think one of the biggest one that I'm helping people overcome is the fact that you can do it with no money. You can do it even though your credit might be bad. You can do it when you don't have a down payment, when you don't have all of the traditional pieces that most of us grow up believing that we have to have. I think that's the first one that people have to understand, is that this is normal. You can buy property just how you are right now. You don't have to get everything perfectly in line. You can go, you can find the property, you can find, the pieces that you need to make it come together. And that's the first thing I think people need to learn.
Thank you. Tell us about the creative financing ways that someone can buy property with bad credit. You've already mentioned some, but tell us more if you have.
Sure. Well, with bad credit, you're really going to look for two different ones. Either you look for a seller finance deal, and they're all out there. You can just Google seller finance, or you can go to Zillow and put it in the keywords, owner finance, seller finance, and you can find properties where they're already looking or promoting that they're going to do seller finance. Or you can do hard money lenders. So those two hard money lenders, sometimes if you don't have a relationship with them, or if the property, it doesn't have tremendous upside, they may want to look at your credit. They may do a soft pull. The credit may come into effect. It's not guaranteed, but most of the time with the seller finance, it doesn't run your credit.
Thank you. For hard money lenders, tell us what that is actually. Is it that the interest that they give, they lend you the money with, is it a lot higher than the banks? And is it for like a shorter term? Tell us how hard money lenders tend to loan money out for mortgages.
Sure. And it's both of those. They are shorter terms, and they're a higher interest rate, but they're quick. And they don't usually have all the hoops that you have to jump through like you would go into a bank. So they sometimes, I just used a hard money lender on a property because there were multiple bids on it. And the other two bids that were in the bidding for the property, the other two that were in it, they were both going traditional. And I was able to come in there and get it because I was going to use a hard money lender and I could close quickly. I was able to close within 7 days, where the other ones were going to have to go through a lot longer. So it aided in that regard, being able to close quickly. But, you do pay a little higher interest rate, and it is a shorter term loan. So I use hard money lenders to come in and get a property, use their money to renovate the property and get it on the market right away, so that within the term that that the loan had, I'm able to renovate it and flip it and pay the note off.
Thank you. Tell us how seller financing works as a creative financing method to buy property.
Sure. Seller financing is when you go and you work out a deal with the owner of the property. The owner actually acts as the bank. So they'll structure terms with you, sometimes with interest, sometimes without interest. The down payment is negotiable. Like I told you, the one already, someone did a seller finance and did the renovations to the property in replace of his down payment. So there's a lot of flexibility, but and a lot of reasons they'll do that. One, maybe they don't want to take the capital gain hit all on their taxes, and they'd rather just have the income come in. So they'll do a seller finance just to have the steady income without the large tax hit for the capital gain. Or in the case of one of the properties that I purchased, the house was in really bad shape. It would not have qualified for traditional lending. So this owner knew that, and so he structured it as a seller finance.
Thank you. I don't understand why someone would do seller finance. And if you could rent it for like a similar price, why would you do seller finance to sell your property?
Well, when you're renting the property, you're responsible for all the renovations. You're still responsible for the taxes. You're responsible for everything that goes on with it. So you can structure a 30-year term with somebody to come in and buy it from you. And now they're going to give you the money now steady for the 30 years. And they are responsible for having, if anything's broken or needs fixed, they have to do it. They're responsible for the homeowner's insurance. They're responsible for the property taxes. They're responsible for all of that. And you still have your steady stream of income coming in.
Thank you. Tell us about all the different creative financing methods someone could use if they are, let's say, an engineer, a handyman, a plumber, someone who can potentially manage a project. How can they partner with someone who could help them buy the property, and under what terms?
Sure. Well, I renovate my own properties. And one thing that I do, I act as I'm the contractor. So I pay myself for doing the work that's done. So I create myself a salary while I'm doing the work on the property. So I come into a property, let's say I use a hard money lender. And so I come in with no money out of pocket. I get the hard money lender to put up the budget for the rehab. And from the day I'm closing, I'm doing the rehab, I'm paying myself for the work. Now I'll go and I'll still get two or three traditional bids. And then I come underneath all three of those. So I'm doing the property a justice. I'm saving it money and still creating an income for myself. So if you can do any of the handyman work yourself, you can come in, start paying yourself. You're going to save a lot of money on the project. You're going to pay yourself for doing it. And so that's something you can do right from day one. Go in with no money and create an income for yourself.
Thank you. Tell us about all the creative financing methods someone could buy a home if, let's say, they're not a trader, they're not able to do any sort of renovations, they don't have good credit, but perhaps they're very good at planning or finding good deals. How can they structure a deal?
Sure. And I help people with this as well. One of the areas to do is to look for fix and flips. And so if you're able to find good deals, then you can find something that has a lot of upside potential. And then you can hire the contractor because, like I said, the hard money lender will put up the money to purchase and also the money for renovations. And then you can hire, contractors or somebody to come in and do the work that's necessary. And then when you flip the property, you'll still get money off of it. It might not be as much, but it's still some. And if the property, if you found a great deal, then it has a lot of upside potential. You can still probably do very well with it.
Thank you. Are there any circumstances in which it's better to use traditional methods of buying a property and not use any creative financing methods?
Yeah, I mean, if you're in a position where you can go to the bank for the loan on the property, they're going to give you your more favorable rates. And so you get more favorable rates, but you're going to have to, provide your taxes, you're going to have the down payment, and you're going to have, good credit. And so, but if you're able to do that and secure traditional financing, well, they're going to give you your better rates.
Thank you. Are there any other ways that we haven't considered yet, that we haven't spoken about yet, that also classify under creative financing methods that someone could use to buy property with no money down?
Sure. There's one big one right now. It's very popular. It's called Subject 2. And that one, I haven't done one of my own. I mean, I'm familiar with it and it's becoming popular. It's where somebody kind of will turn over, they have an existing mortgage, and you can come in, take over the existing mortgage payments. And so you can roll, it's kind of like an owner finance, except they have a loan on the property that you then take over. And so then you continue taking over the payments. A lot of times they'll want a little money, up front for themselves. Sometimes if they're going to lose the house, they're in, some bad situation, well, they may just be happy instead of it going on their credit and as a foreclosure, they're happy to turn it over to somebody, let them take the payments, and then they're able to go on and move and do what they need to do. So that's a real popular one today.
Thank you. Is lease options under one of the creative ways to finance your property payment as well? Or no?
Of course it is. Of course it is. And that's under seller finance. It's just how you structure it. A lease option is still done by the owner of the property. And so that's just a different structure, how it would be a seller finance. It could be a lease option with purchase. It could be rent to own. It could be a land contract deal. Those all really fall under the seller finance.
Thank you. Tell us more about some of the best projects you've seen done with creative financing.
Sure. Well, I mean, there was a fix and flip that was done really well, was able to come in and we had $60,000 for the purchase price. We did $15,000 in renovations and we sold it for $150,000. So we, doubled our money. And I did that one with a hard money lender. And so, and then another one, I used the bank and I mentioned it already, the 8-unit property. I used a bank and a private money lender to come in. I came out of pocket nothing. It was cash flowing from day one and had a lot of value add. We were able to do some renovations, some minor renovations. We were able to bring the rents up to market rate, and it was cash flowing really well, enough to pay the bank, the private lender, and then also had extra.
Thank you. What are some things to be mindful of when you're doing creative financing to buy your property?
You know, when you're doing creative financing, a lot of times you're using other people's money. And whether it's private money, somebody partnered with you and gave you their own money, or you went to a hard money lender, you know, you really have to treat their money above and beyond what you would your own. You have to be really, you know, really strict and really protect their money above anything else, because you don't want to ruin the relationship. You know, you may go on to do more and more and more with these people, whether it's private money or hard money, especially, you know, bank money, but I don't really consider that the OPM so much. But you just really want to make sure that you are protecting everybody's money that came into it. I mean, above and beyond, you would do your own.
Thank you. How can someone rebuild their reputation in a way that, let's say, because you said that you've faced eviction before, how does someone rebuild after that? Because I think most people want to be able to repay, but sometimes they can't, and sometimes they can't do it multiple times. So they you can say they ruin their reputation temporarily until they kind of build back up. So how can someone build again their reputation after, let's say, major, I don't know, financial bankruptcies or different situations that have led to them either being evicted or them losing everything, starting again from scratch? How do you persuade an investor or partner to work again with you when you're in a dire straits, in a terrible financial situation?
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, it can only get so bad. I mean, to the point where, you know, people have to feel comfortable to give you their money. And so you have to become that individual that will make people feel comfortable. And that can come in many different ways. You know, excuse me, finding an excellent property that has a lot of upside potential. And, you know, people will, you can hedge their risk with a higher return. And so, you know, there's different ways, you know, come extremely prepared, have all of your documents ready, know every in and out of that property, and not have one question that could be, you know, asked unanswered. So when you come in extremely prepared, when you have a lot of upside potential and you hedge someone's risk with a higher return, you know, people start, you know, opening up a little more to here and looking at the project. Now, you know, at some point you're going to have to, you know, if you're going through evictions and you're ruined your credit and all of those things, you're going to have to work on repairing that. You know, I mean, you're going to get more favorable rates. You're going to find more people that's going to want to work with you. So, you know, you're going to want to get on a path to correct those issues, but they don't necessarily disqualify you when you can come, like I said, prepared or really hedge someone's risk with a higher return. You know, with risk comes reward. So if somebody has a higher risk, the reward has to reflect that. So you can structure it in different ways like that.
Thank you. Now imagine that your reputation has been badly hurt online, where everything can get, you know, viral very quickly. Let's say you have like a public thing that has come out about you being unable to pay something. How do you repair beyond that? Because let's say a potential investor could look you up and say, oh, Pedro hasn't, you know, paid his investors or hasn't whatever has happened, you know, online. How do you build beyond that? Is it that you have to just come clean about that and then just tell them that this time you'll be okay? Or what would you do differently this time?
Well, hopefully the bad things that are being said aren't accurate. You know, you want to, you don't want to reflect what all those bad things are saying about you. So, you know, you're asking people to trust you with hundreds of thousands of dollars or, you know, large amounts of money. And so, you know, dealing with those negatives, you know, I mean, there's no kidding that they're not going to be difficult to overcome. You know, I mean, something created those in your path. And so, but you can still come to, you know, somebody and hopefully you have a good explanation of what happened. And, you know, it wasn't that you were just dishonest or deceitful and you don't have any legitimate, you know, explanation for what's out there online. If the stuff is true that's out there online, I mean, that could be difficult when somebody are out there saying, hey, you've ripped me off, you've stolen my money, you've done this and done that. If that's the type of character that you've been, it's probably going to be difficult to continue getting people to trust you. But if you do have a legitimate explanation of why things are being said about you and what circumstances led to those particular, you know, instances, you can protect people's money with real estate by the asset. So you can come into a deal and you can say, look, you're going to get the reward. I'm going to increase the reward for, you know, for the amount of risk, but we're also going to back your investment by the asset as well. So people can be protected in real estate by, you know, backing it with the asset. And then again, like I've mentioned, you know, create their reward based upon their risk.
Thank you. Tell us some ways to reassure investors who may want to work with you on a deal to make their investment seem risk-free. You did mention one aspect right now. Is there anything else you could consider including in the deal to make them less likely, I mean, to make them more likely to invest in you and less likely to say no?
Sure. You know, I haven't had to use this. I've always been fortunate that the asset alone with the return has always been sufficient. But I mean, I've heard where you can use other collateral. Maybe you own your own home and maybe you can use some of the equity from your own home to kind of back their money. Maybe there's collateral and other types of items that you have that you can use to help secure their loan. It doesn't just have to be that one particular house. You know, you might have another piece of property, maybe you have some land or something else that you can say, hey, we're going to, you know, protect your loan by this asset as well. So you are able to use other pieces, you know, to secure the loan that they can collateralize.
Thank you. Tell us about your personal experience. How did you awaken the Titan within to turn around your situation from eviction to now becoming a property millionaire and now helping hundreds or thousands of people to go from no money to, you know, optimizing their financial position?
Sure. Well, you know, my evictions, it wasn't that I wasn't trying. You know, I at that particular time, I was a single parent and I lived in the desert. And at that time, the desert was still seasonal. You had a lot of snowbirds that would come there and live there during the winter. But when the heat came in the summer, everyone would leave and go back to their other homes. And the desert would, a lot of it would close. And I was doing commission-only sales. And during the summer months, there just weren't any sales. There weren't really much business or anything to sell to. And so I would get so far behind that it was easier for me to move into a new place than it was to catch up what I had gotten behind. That's why I got evicted so many times. And so, you know, I just continued trying to perfect my craft. I continued trying to learn real estate. You know, you can work hard for your money. And coming out of Detroit, where I'm from, that's what we're taught. We're taught to work hard for our money, find a labor-intensive job, somewhere you're going to work to try to get a pension if it's still there, but you're going to work hard for your money. But you have to learn to get your money to work hard for you. And that's what I was learning. That's what I've read every book I could come across. I kept trying to learn, even though while I was working hard for my money, I kept trying to learn how to flip that and how to do. And that's when, you know, I found that seller finance and was able to get my first foot in the door and eventually fade away from working hard for my money and get more into the lane of having my money work for me.
Thank you. How does someone get this kind of like mental toughness to go from, you know, you can say a major failure or a major financial disaster, and to get that mental toughness so that it's almost like you awaken that warrior within to fight, okay, to fight so you can come back to who you know that you are, which is like your powerful diamond self. How do you get there?
You know, for me, one of the big turning points in my life was a book that I read. And, you know, I found it online. It's from the early 1900s, like 1905 or 1902 or something. And it was a free book. It was a free download that I found online. And it's very energy based, spiritual as well, but more focused on just energy and mindset. And it really hit home with me. And I did. I mean, I've given that book out to many people. It's just been so influential to me and instrumental. But it says there was two mindsets. There's the competitive mindset and the creative mindset. The competitive mindset looks at the pie and the limited amount of pieces. And then the creative mindset says, I'm going to be able to make my own pie. I don't have to worry about that one. And stop competing and stop worrying and just have belief in yourself and in the principles that the book talked about of how to create what you're after. And that book was huge to me. And I live by it today. I don't worry about competition. I don't worry about the market. I don't worry about these things. I'm steady focused that I'm going to create my path. And so far I've been able to do so. So that was a big, big book for me.
Thank you. How can someone find their path in creative financing? How can someone discover the kind of information that is kind of best suited for their circumstances?
Yeah, you know, you have to really find what's available to you. And so the one person that I mentioned that did the triplex, you know, they started looking. They put their receptors out there. They said, okay, I want to follow your method. I want to get involved with real estate. What can I do? Well, the first thing to do is start looking to see what opens itself to you. What is there? And he found this seller finance triplex. It was exactly what he needed. He needed to be able to live in it. And it was also producing income. And he was able to do the handyman work to be able to move in. So the deal or the project that he found, you know, spoke to him, let him know that, yeah, this is your path. You can do this today. I've had other people come where they've been able to use hard money lenders and start trying to do fix and flips so they can start generating some cash flow. So they can either start trying to pay off some of their things that are on their credit report, starting to be able to have money so they can, you know, file their taxes and start trying to get themselves in line to start working toward traditional funding. But really, to answer your question, you just kind of got to keep looking and see what is presenting itself to you.
Thank you. Where's the best way to find investors to partner with on your property deals so you can buy property with no money down?
You know, investors are all over. Getting the money is really not the most difficult part because there's a lot of people that have money that they want to do something with it. It's just you find the right deal. And you should be able to start finding the money. And the money is all around you. There are people you know. Or, you know, I just did a video not too long ago. It's like, if I started from zero today, what would be the first five things that I would do to get me to where I am right now? And one of those is looking for private money, looking for investors. And you get out there, you get in Chamber of Commerce, you get into meetup groups, you know, start going to different business, you know, the Rotary Clubs or just different things where there's business people. and introduce yourself, let people know what you're doing. And you know, I'm in real estate, and you know, I'm trying to put together properties and looking for people that might want to invest with me. The way that I found my first ones, I had a property I wanted to get, and I'd already bought one property with money that I had saved up. And it took me most of my life to get that. And so I found this other property and I didn't have the down payment again. And I didn't have another half of my life to wait to try to get it. So I had, if I wanted it so badly, I had to figure it out. So I sat and sent out a text to three people that I barely knew. One was a guy that owned a convenience store that I used to frequent. We talked a little bit. One was somebody that was the previous owner of a home that I was living in, that I only knew him from the purchase of the home, but really not more than that. And another one was a local contractor that had done some work for me on a property, but we never hung out. We never did anything other than those, you know, those meetings like that. And I sent a text out and said, I'm looking at getting this property. Would you be interested in hearing more about partnering with me on it? And that was the text. I just sent it out and I just waited, just nervous as could be, just waited what was going to happen. And then, you know, all three texts came back and they said, sure, I'd love to hear more. And I eventually ended up working with one of them. The other two said they'd like to work with me. It just wasn't right timing, whatever it was. But one was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's make it happen. So, you know, it's around you. It could be family. It could be minor acquaintances. But you can also get out there around people with money. And, you know, there's a lot of people that want to invest in real estate. They just don't want to be working in real estate. And when you let them know, hey, I want to be in real estate, I just don't have the money, it'll come together if you have the right deal.
Thank you. What's the best way to find the right business partner that is an investor in your project that meets, you could say, that is a good partner for your kind of skills and personality and what you like to do in that property deal?
I mean, there's so many different ways you can put partnerships together. And, you know, the one that works well for me is my investor is just a passive investor. That's it. He puts in his money. He gets his return. He's not part of the day to day. He leaves all that up to me. And so, you know, as long as I do what I say I'm going to do and I fulfill our agreement, they're very happy. But maybe your partner is more experienced than you. Then maybe they're going to come in and have some input, you know, about and helping you, giving you some direction. You know, it's just you've got to look at who your partner is, what role they have. Is there something they can add to your knowledge to help succeed? And because that's what everybody wants. Everybody just wants this deal to succeed. And so whatever makes that happen the best and the smoothest way, you know, that's, you just have to be open to that. And then when you do start getting partnerships, you can't underestimate the power of the operating agreement. You got to lay out everybody's role. This is a legal document and it has to have everything covered in there. And that's the law of the land for your partnership. Without that, partnerships can just deteriorate so quickly. So you need that up front so that everybody knows their role. Everybody knows what, you know, they're going to contribute and what they'll get in, you know, in reward. And, you know, so that's how you can structure good partnerships.
Thank you. Tell us, what's the best way to find a superpower team that once you have the property deal, once you have the investor, you are able to actually manage that particular property in the best way possible to get the highest possible return? What kind of superpower team do you need?
Well, I mean, you know, I consider myself a project manager. I went to a business meeting the other day and they slap a name tag on you and they want you to write on there, like, what's your area? What's your, buy and hold, fix and flip, whatever it is. And they want to put real estate investor on mine, but really I'm a project manager. You know, I find the project, I find the pieces, whether it's hard money lender, seller finance, private money, bank money, whatever it is, I find what's the best for this particular project. And then I see it through to completion. But if it's value add, I'm there making sure that, you know, we're staying within budget, hopefully coming under budget, that is done in the timeline that it needs to be. And that, you know, the end is accomplished, what the goal was set out for. And so, you know, if you're not doing, and I do most of my renovations myself, but if you're doing renovations, then, you know, and you're not doing them yourself, well, then you know, you have to be diligent. You know, you can't, you know, due diligence is, can't be stated enough. And, you know, get the appropriate amount of bids. Do your background on all your contractors, look into them, find other, you know, some of their work. You can't cut short on any of your diligence, when you're getting anybody to work with you, you know, especially when you have to meet a timeline or meet a budget. So, you know, it just, you know, you got to vet everybody really, really well and make sure that everyone sees eye to eye and clarity, you know, right from the beginning, this is what we're after. And so, you know, none of that can be stated enough. That's really, really key to having the right team.
Thank you. Tell us how to find the best traders to run the property once you start running it, like the best property managers, the best handyman, plumbers, whatever else you might need, cleaners. What would you say is your hack for finding the best people to do the work that needs to be done for the property deal you have found that you have bought with no money down?
Sure. One of the places that I use frequently when I need somebody is I'm part of a local Tulsa real estate investors group. It's on Facebook. And I think there's like 18,000 members or more. And I go on there and I say, hey, I'm looking for, you know, this particular person for this work. And are there any recommendations? And I'll go through and you know, you'll get a ton of recommendations. But I go and I look for one that has like the most for that particular, you know, when I see this name came up, you know, 15 times. And so I'll start there. I'll say, well, a lot of people recommended you. Let me see. And then, you know, then I'll take a couple more from there and I just, you know, we'll meet them and, you know, and see, have them give me a quote or a bid for what I'm looking to do. And then you got to make the decision, you know, you got to decide exactly what's right for you because, you know, the cheapest isn't going to necessarily be the best or, you know, the best may not necessarily come in the timeline that you need. So you got to really find what fits your needs. But I go to real estate investor groups and look for what other people are using.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Well, right now, to anybody listening, you can go to nomoneymillionaire.com and you can download my book for free. I'm giving it away as a free download. So again, that's at nomoneymillionaire.com. But you can Google me. You can just Google No Money Millionaire and you're going to find me. That's my Facebook, my Instagram, any of my social media channels. And also, you can find the book on there as well.
Thank you. Tell us your message for any property investors wanting to buy property with no money down. What would you say your message is?
My message is no matter what your situation is, you can buy property. You know, I've counted myself out so many times before I even actually tried just because I had these limiting beliefs set in my head that were untrue. And you know, I was turning myself down before I even attempted to get out there and actually see. So, you know, it's real and it's exactly how it's done in real estate. People aren't using their own money. So, you know, whatever your situation is, just know you'll be able to find something that will work for you and your situation.
Thank you.
Follow me for more property wealth strategies.